يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ذلك ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب. صلوات. Tonight's Thursday night Majlis is dedicated to the memory of the tragedy in which the shrines of the Ahlul Bayt in Jannatul Baqi were demolished by the Wahhabis, and this happened in the 8th of Shawwal 1925. So this Tuesday which passed was the 99th anniversary of that tragedy. The Shias around the world have always, you know, kept that memory in their minds. In different communities of the Shia world, you know, there are different ways of remembering this tragedy in order to keep this pressure on the Saudis about it, to make them realize that what they have done is indeed a crime against humanity. The Baqi organization, which started in US, for the last few years has been campaigning on a global level to create this awareness, not only among the Shias, but also among the Sunnis, especially the Sufi Sunnis, who also believe in visiting shrines, and they go for the ziyarat of their awliya, in order to galvanize this movement that next year, in the month of Shawwal, which will be 100th anniversary year of this tragedy. And the intention is to have a protest on a global level in order to increase this awareness about the madlumiyat of Ahlul Bayt by the hands of the Wahhabis. The Baqi organization actually has also been active by bringing this issue on the United Nations level. They actually made their presentation 2 years ago in Geneva at the Universal Periodical Review Sessions, which is held by the United Nations Human Rights Council, where they were basically, you know, presenting this complaint against the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. The Wahhabis, or as they call themselves, the Salafis, you know, the question comes up, why did they do this? The problem is that in their mind, you know, they have this difficulty in accepting this concept of symbolism in Islam. They are not able to distinguish between what is known as ibadat and what is known as ta'zim. Ibadat is an act of worship, whereas ta'zim is actually an act of showing your respect to someone or something. These are not same things. And this is the problem, that they are not able to distinguish between one and the other. You know, if you look at the issue of visitation of the graves, ziyaratul qubur, of the prophets and the imams, or, you know, anyone, especially if you go for that, from their perspective, it is considered to be an act of worship. And so going to the ziyarat of Rasulullah, even to the Baqi, or our harams, for example, in Iraq or Iran, for them, this is an act of worshiping. They consider that to be shirk, and therefore, they basically believe that when we have the power, we will erase all the symbols of idol worshiping. And this is what you see. The Wahhabis, when they came into power, when they took over Hijaz, which was an independent country consisting of Mecca, Medina, Jeddah, Taif, they're basically the first thing they did, you know, as if, you know, this is the kalima of Islam, is to erase the shrines of the Ahlul Bayt and the Sahaba in Mecca and Medina. If they had their way, you wouldn't ever have seen this zari and the dome on the grave of Rasulullah. But that's where the pressure has been, and it seems that the pressure has been there for almost, 99 years now, that they have not dared touch the shrine of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the same kind of mentality. Wherever people with that ideology of Wahhabism go, this is the same thing they do. You look at Taliban. The first time they got the, control of Afghanistan, this was the first item in their agenda. You look at ISIS in Syria and Iraq. They even went after the tombs of some of the prophets, not erected by the Muslims, but the Christians of early, even before Islamic era. The Khulafa came. Khulafa Rashidin came, they didn't have a problem with those tombs in Iraq. Banu Umayya came, Banu Abbas came, Usmani Khilafat came, nobody did anything. These people have a different way, your way of looking at things. And you see the same mentality, even if you look at this group in West Africa, Boko Haram, the same thing. They, wherever they get control momentarily, the first thing they do, if there's the shrine of the Sufis, they will try to demolish that. And so this is the mentality as far as Wahhabism is concerned. And what they cannot grasp, that the main source of their revenue before oil came was Hajj. And if you look at the rituals of Hajj, Hajj is entirely nothing but symbolism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran actually talks about it. He uses the term sha'airullah. Sha'airullah means the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the Quran. Where has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this term sha'airullah? For what things? Interestingly, in Surah Hajj, in Surah Baqarah first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Safa and Marwa, the two hills, inanimate items, by the Kaaba. And what does he say? Inna Safa wal Marwa min sha'airullah. These two hills of Safa and Marwa are from the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is inanimate item. What about living things? Of course, even Maqam Ibrahim is included in that list there. When you come to the Surah Hajj, ayat number 36, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this animal that the Hajjis take for sacrifice in Mina, al-mudna. Al-budna ja'alnaha lakum min sha'irullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even these animals, sacrificial animals that you bring, Allah says, oh, we have considered that to be from the sha'air and the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lakum fiha khayr. There is goodness and khayr in it. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically talks about an animal, a living thing, and even an inanimate object as symbols. You can't worship that, it's haram. But he says you have to do ta'zeem, because another ayat number 32 in Surah Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. He says, whoever honors or respects the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. This action of respecting the symbols of Allah is indication of the purity and piety of people's hearts. How would you know somebody's heart is, has taqwa, is pure or not? Allah says one of the signs is, go and see. Do they respect my symbols or not? Not worship. Ta'zeem. Ta'zeem means to respect or venerate something, to show your devotion and love and respect. Not the issue of worship, because ibadat is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else and no one else. Salawat Brother Iqbal. You know, when we look at the issue of historical sites, all societies actually work hard to preserve their historical sites so that the generations who will come later on will be able to look at it, get inspiration, there will be a sense of continuity of whatever they had in the past. And it's good for the people to know about things. You know, basically, I know there are people who say, well, history, you know, we don't want to hear history. We only want to hear about practical issues. Well, it's not that we don't talk about practical issues, but the point is that you cannot ignore history. Because when you look at the issue of respect, the word respect in Latin comes from looking back. If you really want to have respect for yourself and your community and your culture, you'll have to always look back, maintain your connection with the past. That is how you will know where you have to move forward. You can't move forward without knowing where you came from. And so this issue of, you know, maintaining historical sites, you know, the question comes up, is it halal or haram? Well, if you are doing this, especially when we talk about, you know, going to the graves of the prophets and the a'imah and awliya and the shuhada, in form of ziyarat, there is absolutely no problem there. Ziyarat means to visit that place. Because what does the ziyarat do? The ziyarat basically is a sense of feeling closer to Rasulullah and his Ahlul Bayt. Feeling closer to the shuhada who sacrificed their lives for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To think about them, to appreciate their sacrifice. And in a way, it's a renewal of our commitment that we would like to maintain this message which has come with so much sacrifice of the past so that we can carry this for the future generations. That is the essence of ziyarat. Especially when we talk about the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to love them. And one expression of the love for Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt is to go and visit the historical sites which are related to them. So it's not worshipping those areas. And this is a human need. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala realizes that. Ask this Wahhabis, you know, why do you have this whole process of Hajj? Why do Muslims go for the Kaaba? What is Kaaba? They will say, well, it's Baytullah. It is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does your God really need a place? If you believe he lives in there, your Islam is gone. You confine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a special location. He is beyond this concept of, you know, locating him in one or limiting him in one space. He is La Makan. And the God who is La Makan doesn't need a house, is saying, this is my house. What is that? That is nothing but symbolism. He says, I don't need a house. Even Quran says, the very ayat about it, Inna awwala baytin wudu'a lin-nas, the first house which was built by for the people. Allah doesn't say for me, referring to the Kaaba. So Kaaba was built for the need of the people. We need that. When we go there, we say, okay, Allah doesn't live here. He doesn't need this place. He doesn't have a house, actually. You can't confine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's everywhere, actually. But he says, I have considered this to be my house. It is nisbat, that connection that I have on a symbolic level, I would like you to come and visit it. And when you go there, you feel closer. And that's not shirk. And this is where we have to realize that when we talk about ziyarat of Baytullah, it has an impact. That's why it has become wajib on those who have the health and the wealth to go for Hajj once in their lifetime. It is wajib for them to go for it. Because it has that sense. People come out, you know, the way they say, you know, born again Muslim. Many people think, oh, so now all my sins are forgiven. I do no qaza for my namaz and roza, violation of the rights of other people, no. You go back to the series we had in Tawbah and Istighfar, go through it. Yes, you will be forgiven, but there is a limitation there. You have to fulfill the duties that you have about it. But that is the sense that we have. When you go back, you come more re-energized as far as, you know, your spirituality is concerned. And that is the purpose of ziyarat. It is not actually an act of worship. We don't worship the Kaaba. Even though an outsider who doesn't know anything about Islam, you bring them to the Masjid al-Haram, you can't, but hypothetically, take that person on the second floor and then tell him to look down. Tell him, what are they doing? He will say, oh, they are worshiping this building, this cube. Well, that is his perspective because he's ignorant. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we face the Kaaba. Similarly, we go for the ziyarat of Rasulullah, but we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam in Karbala, we don't worship him. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when we do our namaz in Karbala, we are actually doing towards the Kaaba. And so this meaning of ziyarat is very clear, even if you look at the issue of, the Kaaba itself. Of course, for our Shias, there is a double, incentive there. You get this energy of seeing the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially, it's a very different feeling when you enter first time and, you see the Kaaba itself. You cannot, describe that feeling. But also remember, when you do the tawaf, this is also the birthplace of Ali bin Abi Talib. And so those are all the historical connections. We don't worship, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor do we worship the birthplace of Ali. It's all symbolic, and that is what the Wahhabis are not able to understand at all. But this is about our, Muslim historical sites. What about non-Muslim historical sites? Are you allowed to go and visit them? The Shari, question, a valid one. Is it halal or haram? If you go for ibadat, of course it's haram. But you don't go for ibadat. You go for what? For ziyarat? No. You go for something else, and that is known as ibrat. Ibrat means you go to learn a lesson. You go to seek a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ziyarat was different in that way. There is a difference between ziyarat and ibrat. And I'll give you an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, and people don't connect this to this issue of ziyarat, but I think it's, I would like to share this, because even when I looked at this issue from the ayat from Surah Yunus, I was really, I thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that reflection there. In this story of Bani Israel, in Surah Yunus, ayat number 90 to 92, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we met Bani Israel, cross the sea. فَأَتْبَعْهُمْ فِرْعَوْنُ وَجُنُودُهُ. Fir'aun with his army pursued them. بَغْيًا وَعَدْوًا. you know, aggressively he pursued them, حتى إذا أدركه الغرق, until drowning of the water overtook them. So Musa and his people crossed over, but Pharaoh and his army drowned. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Pharaoh, at this last moment, now that azab is already on him, he said, Amantu. Try to be very clever there. Amantu annahu la ilaha illa alladhi amanat bihi banu Israel wa ana min al-Muslimin. I believe that there is no God but the God in whom Bani Israel believe. And I submit myself to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-an, Al-an, Fir'aun, now I gave you so many chances. I sent you so many signs, one after another. You did not heed to that. Now that the azab is on you, it's too late. وَقَدْ عَسَيْتَمْ قَبْلُ. You just rebelled and disobeyed me. وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. You created mischief and chaos in the society. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is relevant to what I was saying. فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Fir'aun, I am going to preserve your body. Allah, this is the one who used to say, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, I am your supreme God. You're going to preserve his body, create a problem for the people to come later on, they will be worshipping him. Allah says, no. I'm going to preserve his body, لِتَكُونُ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً, so that your body will be a sign of warning for the people who will come after. And interestingly, this part of the story of Musa and his people is not there in the Bible. It only came in the Quran, and the body of Fir'aun was only discovered about 200 years ago. And people go to Egypt to visit the mummies of the pharaohs. And one of them is, according to this Dr. Maurice Bucail, a French medical doctor who became Muslim, by studying the Bible and the Quran from the scientific point of view. And he in there writes that I went to Cairo, got the special permission from the government to actually cut a small piece from the skin, flesh of that mummy who is known to be the Fir'aun of Musa, to analyze it. And we found that according to the analysis, you know, forensic, you know, analysis that they did, that this mummy, the death was caused by drowning. And so you have a living evidence of Quran being the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is not there in the Bible. Nobody knew about it till about 200 years ago. Coming back to my point here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved body of somebody who claimed to be the supreme God himself. Why? Not for ziyarat. For ibrat. When you go there, and this is what I say to my Muslim and Shia fellows who go for tourism to Egypt, reflect on these issues. People like Mubarak actually made money with those mummies, but didn't have ibrat, did not reflect that this is a fellow who is this, you know, emperor there. Had the wealth and money and power and everything, but at the end Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him because he rebelled against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can have, whether it's historical sites or items of those who were enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there you can go for visitation in the sense of not ziyarat, but in order to learn a lesson. For ibrat. So when you're going to the sites of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is ziyarat. When you go to the sites of a'da of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our enemies, that is the point of ibrat for us. Salawat wa nikbara. Wahhabis don't like when we call them Wahhabis. This is how they are known popularly all over the world. So we use the same term. But ask themselves, they will always write about themselves and talk about themselves as Salafis. Salafis means those who follow the first early generations of Islam. They are known to be those who claim themselves to be Puritan. You know, they believe we follow in the pure Islam. Not this Islam which has been diluted by the Persians and the Turks and the South Asians and Africans and other, you know, communities who converted to Islam. So they claim to be the custodian of the pure, you know, Islam. And they say, we follow the Salaf. Salaf means the ancestors, referring to the first generation of Islam. On this point of visitation of the grave, especially of those who have higher rank in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's Anbiya, Awliya, or Shuhada, let us look at what was the tradition of the Salaf. Because Wahhabis say we are Salafi. If you look at the Sunni sources, you will see that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam every year, beginning of the Islamic calendar, he would actually specially travel, it was not that far, from the city of Medina to Uhud to visit the grave of the Shuhada of Uhud, the second battle which took place, especially Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet, who was known as Sayyid al-Shuhada, till the events of Karbala. After the events of Karbala, Hussein became Sayyid al-Shuhada, you know, chief of the martyrs on a universal level. And the Prophet, so according to their own sources, he used to annually go to Uhud for the ziyarat. Not only that, there is a very famous Sunni alim of India, Maulana Shibli Nu'mani, you know, two, three generations back. And his books are very popular even among the Arab Sunni scholars. He has a book known as Siratul Nabi, the biography of the Prophet. There he talks about this incident. He says that once the Prophet had gone on a journey, was coming back to Medina, and he passed by Uhud, so he stopped. And he says he went to the grave of his uncle Hamza, and he cried there as if the martyrdom has happened on the same that day. Means the azah, if I may use that term. The grief that the Prophet expressed on the grave of Hamza was as if that was the day Hamza was killed. And Shibli Nu'mani says this is 7 years after the Shahadat of Hamza. So all those who think that, you know, remembering the Shuhada and crying, what is this? This is futile and useless. This is the Sunnah of Rasulullah. If the Wahhabis look at their own Salaf, the Khalafa that they follow, Khalafa Rashideen, all of them, including the leaders that they follow after them, Muawiyah, in his one of his journeys for coming to Mecca and Medina, from Medina, he specially made a visit to Uhud. And he says, I had seen the Prophet passing by this area, turning towards Uhud, and doing the salam and dua for the Shuhada of Karbala, Shuhada of Uhud. So even their Khulafa, there is not a single statement which says, don't go for the ziyarat of the qubur, especially of those who are shuhada in Islam. Interestingly, in the Sunni sources, you also see, especially when you look at the events regarding the grave of Hamza, they actually talk about Bibi Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullah alayha. And according to their narration, that she used to regularly go from the city of Medina to Uhud, specially to do the ziyarat of the grave of Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada. And as the Sunni sources actually even quote the Imams of Ahlul Bayt on this issue about Bibi Fatima, there is one statement from the fifth Imam, from the Sunni source, where they say that Fatima bint Rasulullah كانت تزور قبر عمها حمزة, that Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet, would visit the grave of Hamza, ترمه وتصلحه وقد تعلمته بحجر. She would repair it. Tarama, you know, marammat. Something which is ruined, the wall or something, fallen down, you do marammat, you repair it. And then they say, وَقَدْ تَعَلَّمَتْهُ بِحَجَرٍ. She then put a huge stone there as a sign so people know that this is the grave of Hamza. Another narration they have, Hakim Mustadrak, this is Sunni source, quoting Amir al-Mu'mineen, that أن فاطمة كانت تزور قبر عمي حمزة كل جمعة. Every Friday, Fatima al-Zahra will go to visit the grave of Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada. فتصلي وتبكي عنده. She will do the namaz there also and even cry on that grave. So to go to the ziyarat of the Shuhada, you know, according to these traditions, it's not bid'at, it is not shirk, it is not haram. If you really are Salafi, follow your aslaf. This is the sunnah and the tradition of the true Salaf, as far as Islam is concerned. Salawat Pranay Akbar. زیارات کے سلسلے میں مشکل یہ ہے ان لوگوں کی کہ یہ اس بات کو بھول جاتے ہیں کہ اگر قبر نبی متبرک نہیں تھی, اگر قبور شہداء اسلام میں وہ برکت نہیں تھی, تو یہ آپ کے اسلاف اور بزرگ جو ہے کیوں جاتے تھے زیارت کے لیے؟ انہیں سوچنا چاہیے. اگر سب کچھ ڈائریکٹلی ہے, ہمیں کچھ نہیں چاہیے, شفاعت بھی نہیں چاہیے, توسل بھی نہیں چاہیے, تو کیا ضرورت تھی آپ کے خلیفہ اول اور خلیفہ ثانی کو وصیت کرنے کی رسول کی زوجہ سے کہ ہم اجازت چاہتے ہیں کہ مرنے کے بعد رسول کے پہلو میں دفن ہو؟ اس کا مطلب یہ ہے کہ ان کے ذہن میں یہ بات تھی کہ رسول کی قبر متبرک ہے, جو جتنا قریب رہے گا شاید اسے برکت مل جائے. ایٹ لیسٹ اتنا تو اس سے ثابت ہوتا ہے نا. تو جہاں تک سلف کی بات ہے, پرانوں کی بات ہے, اس میں یہی دیکھنا چاہیے کہ بھائی خود آپ کے بزرگ کیا کہتے تھے, اور اسی بنیاد پر ہم جاتے ہیں, رسول اللہ کی زیارت کرتے ہیں. اسی طرح سے ہم جاتے ہیں کربلا میں زیارت کرتے ہیں, سامرہ میں کرتے ہیں, کاظمین میں زیارت کرتے ہیں, نجف جاتے ہیں, مشہد جاتے ہیں. یہ ہم ان کی عبادت نہیں کرتے ہیں. زیارت, لفظ زیارت کو یہ نہیں سمجھتے ہیں, تعظیم کو نہیں سمجھتے ہیں, کنفیوز کرتے ہیں یہ اس عبادت کے درمیان. ہمارے جو خاص مقامات ہیں, ایران میں ایک امام ہے ہمارے, مسجد میں ہم جاتے ہیں زیارت کے لیے, ماشاءاللہ ہم ان کو کہتے ہیں شاہ خراسان, امام رضا علیہ السلام کو. جو بہرحال ولی عہد تھے, ظاہری طور پہ حکومت تھی, سکے تھے ان کے نام سے, اور شہادت کے بعد بھی ان کی حکومت ابھی بھی ہے. آپ اس بارگاہ کو دیکھیں، اس حرم کو دیکھیں، ون آف دا لارجسٹ شرائنز ان دی ورلڈ، ایکسپینشن جس طرح سے ہوتا چلا جا رہا ہے، جس طرح سے اوقاف اور انڈاؤمنٹس ہیں امام رضا علیہ السلام کے حرم کے لیے، کہیں اور نہیں ہے. ایٹ لیسٹ آئی نو. ہمیں ایک واقعہ یاد ہے کہ 90s میں خود ایرانی حکومت جو ہے کیش فلو کا پرابلم تھا، ان لوگوں نے قرض لیا تھا حرم امام حسین امام رضا علیہ السلام سے. تو وہ صحیح معنوں میں شاہ خراسان ہیں، وہاں رونق نظر آتی ہے، بڑی تعداد میں لوگ جاتے ہیں، ہمیشہ چراغاں رہتا ہے وہاں. کربلا جاتے ہیں، وہاں نجف جاتے ہیں آپ عراق میں، وہی بات ہے، دل کو سکون ملتا ہے. کربلا پہنچنے کے بعد بھی، صدام کے زوال کے بعد جو رونق دوبارہ آئی ہے اس بارگاہ میں، انسان کا دل جو ہے خوش ہو جاتا ہے شہدائے کربلا کی زیارت کے بعد. کاظمین ہم جاتے ہیں، وہاں دیکھتے ہیں کہ وہاں سنی حضرات بھی آتے ہیں، ان کی حاجات وہاں بھی قبول ہوتی ہیں. سامرہ میں آئسس والوں نے پوری کوشش کی اس گنبد کو برباد کرنے کے لیے، لیکن آپ دیکھیں خدا کی قدرت ہے کہ حملوں کے سامنے وہ زیارت، وہ بارگاہ جو ہے دوبارہ اپنی بلندی کے ساتھ، رونق کے ساتھ، روشنی کے ساتھ موجود ہے، دل خوش ہوتا ہے. پھر ہم مدینہ جاتے ہیں رسول کی زیارت کے لیے، وہاں بھی ہمیں چراغاں نظر آتا ہے، زری نظر آتی ہے، زیارت کرتے ہیں. لیکن مسجد نبی کے بعد نکلنے کے بعد، کچھ قدموں کے چلنے کے بعد، نظر جاتی ہے اس جگہ پہ جسے ہم جنت البقیع کہتے ہیں، جہاں ہمارے چار امام مدفون ہیں دوسرے بنو ہاشم کے علاوہ. اور جناب سیدہ کے بارے میں خود یہی کہا گیا ہے ہمارے ائمہ کہ ان کی قبر جو ہے اس کا نشان سب کسی کو نہیں معلوم ہے، کیا وہ گھر میں دفن ہوئی، محراب اور ممبر کے درمیان دفن ہوئی، یا جنت البقیع میں. زیارت ہم ہر جگہ اس لیے پڑھتے ہیں، اس لیے کہا جاتا ہے کہ شاید قبر وہاں ہو. جناب ام البنین کی بھی قبر وہاں پہ ہے. ہم جناب فاطمہ کا ذکر وہاں اس عنوان سے کرتے ہیں. علامہ طباطبائی سے ایک شخص نے، حرم امام رضا علیہ السلام سے نکل رہا تھا، وہ جا رہا تھا زیارت کے لیے، علامہ طباطبائی نکل رہے تھے. اس عالم نے پوچھا کہ علامہ یہ بتائیے کہ ہم امام رضا علیہ السلام کے بارگاہ میں جب زیارت کے لیے جائیں، جب ہم کچھ توسل کرتے ہیں، کس طرح سے توسل کریں کہ امام ہماری شفاعت کر دیں؟ علامہ طباطبائی کہتے ہیں کہ امام رضا کے روزے کے سامنے بیٹھ کے فاطمہ کے مصائب کو یاد کرو، تب امام رضا کبھی بھی تمہاری اس خواہش اور تمہارے اس جو حاجات ہیں اس کو وہ رد نہیں کریں گے. زیداران حسین، جنت البقیع ہمارے لیے صرف زیارت کی قبر کی بات نہیں ہے، بلکہ ایک اور عنوان ہم پیش کرنا چاہیں گے. اس میں صرف ہمارے معصوم امام دفن نہیں ہے، جناب ام البنین کی بھی قبر وہیں پہ ہے، بلکہ جناب ام البنین نے اس ایریا کو جہاں بنو ہاشم کی قبریں ہیں اس کو ایزا خانہ بنا لیا تھا. جب کربلا سے بیٹوں کی شہادت کی خبر آئی ہے، جناب ام البنین اپنے گھر سے نکل کے جنت البقیع میں جاتی تھی اور بنو ہاشم کی قبروں کے درمیان بیٹھتی تھی اور ایک مرثیہ پڑھتی تھی، اور لوگ جمع ہوتے تھے مرثیہ سننے کے لیے اور روتے تھے، جس کے فقرات یہی تھی، یہی فقرات تھے ان مرثیہ کے کہ امبیتو، مجھے یہ خبر دی گئی ہے اے خبر لانے والے کہ میرے بیٹے کے سر پر گرز اس وقت لگا ہے جب میرے بیٹے کے ہاتھ کٹ چکے تھے. مجھے یقین ہے
اگر میرے بیٹے کے ہاتھ ہوتے کسی کی ہمت نہ ہوتی کہ میرے عباس کے سر پر وہ گرز لگائے، اس لیے کہ یہ مصیبت بہت بڑی مصیبت تھی، جس کے بعد عباس جو ہے گھوڑے پر اپنے کو سنبھال نہ سکے۔ لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين، سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون۔ خداوند اس کے لیے بات قبول فرما، ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے، ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما۔ خداوند عالم اسلام میں صلح اور امن کی فضا پیدا کر، شیعان علی کو اپنے حفظ و امان میں رکھ، تکفیری افواج کے صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما، امام کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما۔ ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم۔